Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guests a question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's the Rose. Rose Columbo right here for you. And we are at Worldwide Online Blog Talk Radio, where you can listen in anywhere around the world. And in fact, all shows are archived, so if you miss a show, you can come back to blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles, and you can scroll on down and look for your favorite show, your favorite topic, and your favorite guest, and listen in. Just sit back and relax. And today we have a dynamic guest on Columbo Chronicles with the Rose, and her name is Olympia LaPointe. What a fabulous name. She is the CEO of OL Consulting Corporation and Publishing. Olympia LaPointe is best known for her role as an award-winning rocket scientist. Not only is she a female, she is a rocket scientist. And how fabulous is that? A science entertainer and self-help author, helping audience overcome fear and unleash the brain's power through her personal story, which we just can't wait to hear. And through triumph over adversity and rigorous scientific training, Olympia LaPointe discovered the ways for her own life experiences to add together. Mesophobia, how you can overcome your math fears and become a rocket scientist, is her first self-help educational book, and it was designed to empower audience to ace math and science without doing more problems. With the foreword by world-renowned neuroscientist Dr. Jeffrey Swartz, Answers Unleashed, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain's Power, is her second book, her latest book designed to help people overcome painful memories to succeed in life. And of course, we all want to know, how can we succeed? Because we're on a very short journey here. Young people think it's a long journey, but once they hit about 30, they start to learn that the journey becomes much shorter. And the time to reach your goals and your desires and your dreams starts to have a timeline on how you're spending your time. Are you wasting it, or are you spending it wisely? Because we all make mistakes in our youth, and sometimes we make bad choices, but it doesn't mean that we can't make better choices in the future. So this is a very exciting topic. And she will be joining us in just a little bit on Authors and Experts Corner. It's the world of authors and experts where prominent guests join us every Wednesday at our new time, noon to 1 p.m. So jot that down. It's on the West Coast in the good old USA. And, of course, that would be 3 to 4 p.m. on the East Coast. And, of course, you need to check your state and your country. And welcome, worldwide nations, because we welcome all people from around the world. And I love seeing your countries listed on my statistics and stats. So thank you so much for joining us and sharing Columbo Chronicles Live on Worldwide Online Radio at Blog Talk Radio. So while we're waiting for our guests to join us, there is a topic I'm interested in because I'm a longtime advocate for justice. 25 years on the trail of seeking justice and helping thousands of people around the country over the years overcome injustices and move on to go from victims to survivors. You never want to remain a victim. We can become victims, and people go, oh, stop being a victim. Oh, you always think you're a victim. Well, sometimes and many times people are victims of the legal system. And if you don't recognize it in what's happening in today's government, federal government and state governments, and especially the Department of Justice, then you aren't ever going to admit that we have serious problems, not only around the world, but in our own backyard. And unless we become proactive and we face those problems in a civilized manner, and we address them with our police, our sheriffs, our judges, our lawyers, and try to bring them to the table to stop the white-collar crime going on, where our tax dollars are being ripped off drastically. Most recently, there's so much pork that is being sheared at the top, and the crumbs are being thrown to the masses of Americans who pay their wages, and apparently many of them believe they are above the law, and they exempt themselves from the laws which they mandate for everyone else and punish us if we violate those same laws that they hold themselves above. In fact, we have judges and we have politicians saying the Constitution is meaningless, Congress is meaningless, and the borders are meaningless. You cannot have a nation without borders, period. You don't have a nation if you don't have borders. That's why borders are established around the world, not just in the USA. You have to have legal immigration. Many people say, oh, we're a nation of immigrants. Well, we were a nation of invaders in the beginning because the Native Americans were here first. So we are actually a nation of invaders who overpopulated and took control of this land and created borders, which is good and fine and needed. And then we have our framers, who were God-fearing men, who created and wrote and approved the Constitution of the United States because they felt that we needed to protect our nation from foreign invaders, and that we also needed to protect it from tyranny and totalitarian regimes and from people who wanted to do us harm and overrun our nation and dominate our nation. So they set up all these laws called the Constitution of the United States of America, and the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, and so forth. That was to protect us and to protect our nation and to keep it safe. Therefore, we became a nation of legal immigrants. We became a nation of legal identification. We became a nation of legal citizenship. And citizenship in America requires assimilation and allegiance to the United States flag and the United States Constitution, which all public servants swear an oath to uphold, defend, protect, and preserve. So therefore, when our leaders tell us that the Constitution is meaningless and Congress is meaningless, that means they're firing themselves, that they no longer have jobs, and we should not be required to pay them, because the only thing we pay them to do is uphold, defend, preserve, and protect the Constitution, the sovereignty of this great nation, and the safety and welfare of America, and to uphold a sound budget, which they don't do, and a reasonable national debt, which they don't do, and to prevent inflation and prevent the country from going bankrupt and prevent a majority of people ending up on welfare. So, therefore, we need to take a look at what's happening with the industrial prison complex, the industrial military complex, and so forth, in in order to preserve our nation. We are a nation of natural-born Americans. We are a nation of native-born Americans. We are a nation of legal immigrants, legal citizens. And there's a reason for laws, because we need to identify our neighbors, our teachers, our professors, our public servants, who we are paying with our tax dollars. How will we know who they are if they aren't identified legally and aren't in our country legally? So anyone else who believes that illegal immigration is legal is living in an illusion of their own world, in their own bubble, and with their own personal agendas, because they are refusing to uphold legal immigration, sovereignty, legal identification, and legal citizenship, which are the only people who are legally in this country. Everything else is a lie. And that means they are harboring and protecting and forcing Americans to pay for millions of people who are not legally in this country. And that will cause an economic collapse over time. And the prison system is one of the biggest problems we have. We have private prisons for profit. And why do we have private prisons for profit? That means they have to arrest more people to keep them open. They are warehouses, and they warehouse people, and they need bodies to fill the beds. That's the only way they exist. So they let people out to go commit more crimes so that who are in prison, so that they have a repeat revolving door of the same repeaters who go out and violate again. And they know that the majority will go out and commit more crimes because, number one, they don't rehabilitate them, and they certainly don't get rehabilitated in prison for the most part, and they don't give them much money and skills to go out and get a job, and then they make it difficult for them to get a job because they have a criminal record. So it's a really vicious cycle that the American people need to take a serious look at, because there is an article you should read. It's on the Washington Post, and it's entitled, How For-Profit Prisons Have Become the Biggest Lobby No One Is Talking About. Well, I've been talking about this for 20 years, and nobody's been listening, apparently. So we're going to talk about that a little more in depth on Colombo Chronicles, because it is a serious problem in this country. And we need to address this because the prison system is costing us billions and billions of dollars. And it's not helping people rehabilitate. It's just causing more repeat business for job security, taxes, and so forth. In my opinion, you can have your own opinion. But now we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. We have a dynamic guest. We have a rocket scientist, and she's female. And her name is Olympia LaPointe, dynamic woman. I mean, she has an incredible background you will not want to miss. So stay tuned. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Colombo Chronicles and The Rose in just a moment.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Colombo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Colombo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColomboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Colombo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColomboChronicles.com.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right, everyone, from around the world here on Worldwide Online Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday. We have a new time from noon to 1 p.m., and that's on the West Coast in the good old USA. And on the East Coast, it's 3 to 4 p.m., so bookmark that, make a note, and tune in every Wednesday when we have prominent guests from around the world talking to us, in educating us, enlightening us, and empowering us on how to succeed in life. And everyone needs that information. And all those countries around the world, be sure to change the time in your countries as well. And thank you for listening. We're so privileged to have you listening to Colombo Chronicles Live. Now we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And boy, do we have a dynamic expert today. She's incredible. Her name is Olympia LaPointe. And she is the CEO of OL Consulting Corporation and Publishing. And Olympia LaPointe is best known for her role as an award-winning rocket scientist. She's a science entertainer and self-help author, helping audiences overcome fear and unleash the brain's power through her personal story. As an internationally recognized scientist, LaPointe helped launch NASA's Endeavour, Discovery, Columbia, and Atlantis space shuttles, part of a career total of 28 space shuttle launches. She won the 2004 Boeing Company Professional Excellence Award and the 2003 National Engineer of the Year Modern Day Technology Leader Award, and LaPointe has gained numerous engineering awards. And she's here today to talk to us about Answers Unleashed, her latest book, and everyone needs to know how to unleash the power of their brain. So let's get started and say hello to Olympia LaPointe. Hi, Olympia. How are you today? So well.
Oh, I'm so well. So thank thrilled. You. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, and I'm so thrilled to have you on our show because you are an incredible woman. You have an incredible background, in fact. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And to start off with, Olympia, I was wondering if I could ask you this particular question because I noticed that you stated that people need to unleash our brain. We need to unleash our brains. What does that mean when you tell people that they need to unleash their brains?
Unleash your brain power. Excellent question. When
yeah,
we
the brain
are
power.
Young, we each have brain power. We each have a power to change our life and change the lives of other people through innovation, through science, through our profession, through our companies, through relationships. We have the ability based on what we think and what we do. But at a very early age, we lose that power. We lose that ability to actually transform our lives through our thoughts and matching those with our actions. So in that process, we lose it from fear, we lose it from painful situations, we lose it from this horrible trauma, we lose it in many different ways, and we start operating in a way that doesn't allow us to be the change that we wish to see in the world. So my book, Answers Unleashed, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain's Power, is a book to help you truly understand the power that you bring to the table with your thoughts, and so you can launch your life in the way that you want it to go into. And I had to do that in my own life, because becoming a rocket scientist was nearly impossible, because I came through very tough, real-life young situations, from poverty to gang violence, and people see that in my TED Talk, and how I had to rewire my brain stuff and still move forward is what I share about in the book.
Yes, and so did you live in the inner city where there was a lot of gang violence and a lot of danger, and so you lived in a lot of fear as a child during that time? Is that a true statement?
I think that's an understatement. It's an understatement. When we think about inner city youth, I'm a firm believer that inner city youth are just like the kids that go through war. If you look at kids that go through war in different areas of the world, and the kids that go through difficult poverty situations in the inner city, the brain effects are almost identical, neuroscientists are seeing. And it is so important for us to understand how fear plays. Now, a person, a child or someone who is growing up doesn't just have to be in the inner city to experience fear. They can experience fear in a classroom. They could be in the middle of a classroom and not feel safe. They could be a person at home in a domestic type of situation in which the child doesn't feel safe. So it's different avenues in which fear is coming about, rearing its head. And it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your social background or your wealth. It will come up in all these different areas. And what my book talks about is how when we experience this fear and this trauma, this brain brink happens. It's like literally what keeps our brain from firing and unleashing its power. And it was first thought, it was all this problem with trauma and fear was first brought to the forefront by neuroscientist Caroline Leaf. And she suggested that there was this dark tar-like mass in the brain that actually kept the brain from rewiring itself. And so it was just theory until neuropathologist Anne McKee found out through the concussions of the NFL players that this actually happens in the brains of people who have been injured with concussions. It's like this dark tar-like mass kept the brain from moving and reshaping. It was like this glue. So in this book, Answers Unleashed, I talk about when we go through very painful situations, it's not just a physical trauma that people will experience, but it is an emotional trauma that will leave the same type of blockages of how we think in our brain, and that is what needs to be rewired. And when we learn to become cognizant of the thoughts that we're having in certain situations, then we can begin to remove that fear and remove those painful experiences and replace it with what we need to replace it with, which is a new thought and a new belief that will allow us to act in courage to change our life.
Yes, I believe that because, I mean, just like you said, it could be any walk of life. It could be domestic violence where a woman's fearful of leaving a situation out of fear, and that happens quite frequently. You also said LaPointe's, in your bio here, it says LaPointe's redirected her focus to the brain's triumphant power after her mother experienced a catastrophic brain injury in 2004. Do you mind if I ask you what happened to your mom and how that changed your life?
Oh, sure, sure. It's my honor to talk about my mother, and her story is miraculous, literally. And I'm so proud to share her story, and I'm so proud to share what I learned through watching and helping my mother. In 2004, my mother was in a catastrophic accident. She was a pedestrian on the street, and a car came up, and she ended up being involved in the accident, and she had to go for brain surgery. Now, this is a horrible situation, but it has a wonderful ending. I just want to tell your audience that in advance. And so what happened is that she went in for brain surgery, and literally she had to go for brain surgery, and they didn't know her cognitive levels after the surgery. And she was in a coma, and the doctors also saw two broken vertebrae while they were doing the surgery. They saw it with their own eyes. And we were completely in shock. We didn't know if our mother was going to come out of it. Well, the doctors and surgeons were successfully able to stop the bleeding. And my mother came out of a coma, and here's the blessing. And here's, like, literally a miracle that changed the way that I was looking at my own life and changed the way that I understood how faith works in addition to the science. My mother came out of a coma. She couldn't walk, she couldn't talk, she couldn't do all the basic things that we do. But when I asked the doctors to take the x-rays to find out where the broken vertebrae were, and mind you, there were six doctors that saw this with their own eyes, they went to take x-rays, and there were no sign of any broken vertebrae at all in her body at all.
Oh, my goodness. That is a miracle.
That's a miracle. But at the same time, yes, that opened my eyes to think, oh, my God, what else can happen that we don't know about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my mother was tasked with having to learn how to walk again, how to eat again, and I was literally by her side every single step as she learned to take steps again like infants do, things that we take for granted. And so when she was recovering and going through that process, and she's not the same as she was before. I just want to say that she's not the same as before, but people, when they meet her, have no idea what she has gone through. That's how the beauty about this is. But as I was helping my mother in the process of her therapies, I was recognizing how powerful the brain is, period. It's not just her brain. It's my brain, it's your brain, it's your audience brain. We have such a power to us that we don't even know a fraction of what it can do. And in the we only understand 10% of the brain's function. That's it. Neuroscientists have only understood 10% of the brain's function. And as I was helping my mother, now I'm not a neuroscientist, I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, but I am a rocket scientist who loves science, who loves finding out how our brains work, who loves applying this knowledge. And when I was helping my mother overcome her traumatic situation, I started seeing how we can use our powerful way that it transforms our lives and the actions that we take to re-embed those thoughts, literally through my mother's case, seeing it, helped heal her brain. And I looked back at my own situation. I had gone through so much in my own life and how I had to rewire my brain to become a rocket scientist. And then I was seeing my mother doing this after recovering from a surgery. That's what allowed me to start writing about the power of the brain and what the brain can do. Like, for example, a lot of times when we go through very stressful situations, there is over 1,400 chemical reactions that happen in the brain. There's cortisol that's released. We have higher blood pressure. We have higher temperature. And so it's literally causing a chemical reaction for our body to bake in a certain way. I mean, that sounds strange, but literally we change the chemistry of our body by thinking of thoughts based on fear. And when my mother and I learned these techniques through a therapist and through working with the neurosurgeons and the psychologists, learned to take, instead of having those fearful thoughts, start actually remembering a time very young when you had the most pleasure and the most joy, and overlaying that on top of the situation that you're currently witnessing that's very stressful, you literally, from your thoughts, can change the physical environment of your body and your own brain's reaction to the stressful situation so you are not in the stressful state that causes more anguish and bodily issues. And that was a technique, an exercise that was shown through some of the doctors and the scientists that we worked with. And I captured those types of exercises in the Answers Unleashed. And those tips of the power that we have is now finally being revealed. And I truly believe that as each one of us figures out what our fears are and we change those types of beliefs to the truth, we then can change our lives.
Yes, I can relate to all of that. And so, and even experience some of that. So, you believe that that faith and intuition are important to unleashing one's brain power, since it's my opinion that most scientists don't believe in a higher faith or being. They don't believe in a higher power. They believe in brain power, I believe, but probably not a higher power. So what do you believe that intuition and faith are both important to this exercise?
Oh, yes, most 100%, yes. And it's so fascinating. Well, a lot of people, when they read my background and they read what I do, they're like, what, you're a scientist and you, like, believe in God? How is that possible? And I chuckle. I think it's fun that people ask me that question, because to me they're the exact same. It's like the same. If you can imagine a coin with it, it's the same coin. You look at it in one side, it's like the faith, and then you look at it on the other side, it's a science. It's the same coin, it's just how you're looking at it. So I look at it like that. I truly believe that the faith, there's a faith part of our brain, and I saw this with my own life, because in order for me to have become a rocket scientist, I had to see myself becoming a rocket scientist first, and that's the faith part of the brain. And that's the same part of the brain that the Olympic gold medalists use. Every single Olympic gold medalist can see themselves winning the gold before they actually do it. That envisioning part of the brain literally rewires your entire body to actually create an outcome. Scientists do that. They are able to see gigantic rockets before they're built, but they have to envision it first and use the technology to actually bring it to existence. They see things before it even exists. That's the same part of the brain that's used. It's the same part of the faith that's used. To be able to know that there is something that exists that you don't see right off, but you know it does, it's the same part of the brain. And there are two scientists that believe the exact same way. Pascal was a scientist in the early 1700s, 1800s, where he had that belief, like the math and the science was no different, because you had to believe in something to know that you were going to get the solution. And Einstein also believed that, specifically with intuition. Einstein was a firm believer that intuition was the ability to create the scientific theories that would bring our society to the next level. And this part of the brain that I call out is part of what I call the trier brain. It's a three-sided brain. When psychologists are usually looking at the brain and looking at it as left and right, the left side is very logical, very scientific, and the right side is very artistic and creative and expressive. Well, I introduce, from seeing my own life, seeing my mother's recovery, and then later on, the ironic part about it is that having another family member, my older sister, go through a separate brain surgery where she had to heal, I realized, oh my God, if I don't write a book about this, I will be forever mad at myself for not explaining how what I'm seeing. And so what this trier brain is, it's a three-sided brain that I bring forth. And the theory is that the left side and the right side have to be connected through the faith side of the brain. And the faith side of the brain is our faith. It is the ability to know that there is going to be a beneficial outcome before it exists. It is whatever your religion is. It doesn't matter if you are Catholic. It doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist. It doesn't matter if you are Muslim or American Christian. It doesn't matter. The part of us, all of us, are all the same in the ability of having faith that there's something bigger than ourselves that connects us together, not only connects us in our brain together and connects our brain to our body, but connects our body to the outside world, where we can do together make a significant difference in bettering mankind. So the Trier brain is this three-sided brain.
So let me give you an off question here. Because not everybody has the same brain capacity for many, many different reasons. So do you believe that using the brain is safe when unleashing brain power? Because what about people who are criminal-minded, such as sociopaths? How does that work to people who are unleashing their brain power maybe in a negative way?
Oh, well, excellent question. I truly believe everyone has the same capacity, but what changes our ability is our decision-making process. Now, again, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm speaking about what I recognize about the own patterns that I've been recognizing in my own life and the people that were around me, and as well as what we see. Our decision-making capability is what I call the fractal moment. That moment in time where you make a decision on what it is that you're going to do based on your belief. Your belief is based on the faith of what you think will happen. That decision-making capability defines the brain. So, for example, someone who has the same capacity of brain power, it all depends on how they are trained to make decisions. For example, you can take an inner city kid, and that inner city kid would have two roads. They have a really smart ability. Let's say it's an inner city young male. You can either introduce him into crime, into gangs, in which he could be a drug dealer making a lot of money, or you can introduce him into an educational system where he becomes a CEO and does the exact same thing. The outcome is still going to be the same. How it's applied is depending on the decisions that are made. The decisions that we make reshapes our brain. The decision that we have on an every single day opportunity gets us into, I truly feel, into a place that we are designed to have our life. Now, if we train people to know what their choices are, educate people to know what options they have, I truly believe that people will choose the road designed for their life. But you have to let people know what their options are so they can make effective decisions. And I'm a firm believer, I'm a positive person. So I truly believe majority of the population, not everybody, but I truly believe the majority of the population would choose the path that is best for them and which would be positive. There are cases in which there are sociopathic people, and there's a whole case study for people like that, but I truly believe that if you expose someone at an early age to know what their decisions are, you can help them reshape and rewire their own brain so they can achieve greatness like I did in my life.
Yes, I tell my children and other people that we make choices, and choices have consequences, whether the choice has it will have either a good consequence or a bad consequence. It will not have no consequence, but it will have a good or bad consequence. So when people make choices in life, which we all must do, and is that also the unleashing of the brain power? Is that also a feeling that someone who may think about reading your book and taking these steps maybe feel as if they're taking a risk in changing their thought process and their choices that they've already established in their own life, especially a young person who's made bad choices?
Well, great. The book isn't for everybody. I'll just be the first person to say that. The book isn't for everybody. There'd be a whole lot of salespeople will say, yeah, the book is for everybody. No, the book is not for everybody. It's for leaders. It's for people willing and courageous enough to to take a look at their own life and change it so it becomes better, so not only they help themselves, they help the people around them. And the only way that we can do that is by changing ourselves first, and by being the change. That's how we make the difference the most effectively.
So what was it in your childhood, would you say? What was the one thing that stood out as a big fear in your childhood that you overcame to understand that you no longer have to be afraid? You can become a success.
Oh, that's a great question. In my childhood, there's a whole lot of things that happened, but I didn't realize the most significant thing was something that I didn't remember. At the age of 8 years old, I was sexually abused by a family member, and I can gladly say, looking back, that I addressed it, and when I finally remembered it, I was able to overcome it, and it's a big deal for me, and it's a big deal for a lot of people. The Center for Disease Control estimates that 1 out of every 4 women have experienced some sort of sexual trauma in their lifetime, and that's just in the United States, and this happens all across the world. So in my particular case, I was 8 years old, and that happened, and my brain erased it. It completely erased the memory until years later, decades later. And I didn't realize why I felt so uncomfortable in situations. It was because my brain remembered it. I didn't remember it. And when I became conscious of it, there was a series of incidents that where I became conscious of it, I realized, oh, my God, I have to remove the belief pattern that has been established from that type of situation. Well, I had to learn to forgive, and that was the hardest thing. I had to learn how to forgive, and I had to learn how to recognize that some things in life are not the way that we plan it to be, but they're given to us for us to use that energy in a way that's going to unleash the power of our life. And that's what happened in my case. I had to recognize, why on earth did that happen? Now, I don't know the exact reason. Some things we'll never know why, and that's the wrong question. The question asks, how can I make this work for me now? For myself, I recognize that instead of me having the false belief in my own head, like, who could I trust? That was the false belief, like thinking I couldn't trust anyone, to changing that and taking that out of my head and replacing it by, how can I trust myself right now? And it translated itself into many different areas. How could I trust myself and know what I'm talking about is true when I'm in a room of 200 men at launching rockets, being the only woman there? How could I trust myself so strongly that I knew that I could provide the answer in which people were needing? How could I trust myself in such a profound way that whatever I do, whether it be starting a business or creating books, that I know that I'm not creating this for any other reason other than myself and trusting myself that this is going to be the path that's going to lead me to what it is that I'm launching in my own life? That process of changing the way that I was thinking about the situation and turning it around to be a new thought that was going to unleash my own ability to increase my own intuition, create things in science that was going to help millions of people, and then change the course of my own life, all depended on me recognizing how to change that false belief into the truth that I could now stand on.
Well, intuition is very, very strong, and it plays a big part in your brain power unleashed. And so where does this intuition, where do you think the intuition comes from? Because a lot of people ignore their intuition, and it appears when we ignore our intuition, we're always wrong. But if we follow it seems like we're correct. So where do you intuition comes from?
It comes from a natural process of our brain. I saw it with myself. I saw it with my mother. I truly believe it's a natural process every single person on the face of this planet has. I'm a firm believer that everyone has intuition. It comes in different ways. Like, for example, someone can have a very strong gut feeling not to make a certain turn as they're driving. And then as a result, because they did not make that turn, they avoided an accident, let's say. someone will have like a thought, let's say, that someone that they should call someone. And then they pick up the phone and they call someone, and the other person on the other line says, I was just thinking about you. Oh, my God, we're going through this. You hear their story.
Yes. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you're hearing this. Yeah. And then or and the, another way it comes is, have you ever, and we've seen this on the news, we've seen people that will run into a burning building and like get someone, and you're like, how on earth did they end up doing this? And they're carrying someone down flights of stairs. We see like the people that responded in the 911, September 11th tragedy, where there were people that were literally lifting people from blocks and carrying them, getting them out of the way. And when you ask them, how did you do this? And they're like, we have no idea. It just came over us. It was intuition, and it takes on different forms. And so in the book, I talk about how intuition actually takes on different forms in our life based on what, how we operate, how our brain naturally works. And all of us have it in the same, in a different way. Einstein had it. He was one of the biggest supporters of having each of us know we have intuition. And so I'm here today to show that intuition is real. We actually have it. Scientists use it. I use it. Family members use it. Many people use it. But how we apply it and how we move action on it can build our own life and contribute to society in a way that's actually going to help people.
Fantastic. We're talking to Olympia LaPointe. She is a rocket scientist. She's hailed as the new Einstein by her fans and the modern day hidden figure by People magazine. Olympia LaPointe, she writes blogs on the Huffington Post and executive produces Answers Unleashed talk show and Answers Unleashed live lecture shows, helping audiences change their thoughts for success. And she has a fabulous background and bio. And I understand, Olympia, that you are going to be at a special appearance here at the Festival of Books in Los Angeles on April 21st and 22nd on the USC campus. And I believe that's with the book publicist of Southern California, Erwin Zucker's group. Do you want to tell our audience a little more about that?
Oh, yes. I'm very excited. On April 21st and 22nd, I am at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. I am a special celebrity author there with the many different authors that will be at the event. It's established that there's over 100,000 people that are going to be at the event each day. And I'm going to be there signing and giving autographs to people who are up, both purchasing the book and not purchasing the book, but just sharing information about it. I'm also going to be working with our great club. It's the Book Publicists of Southern California. We are there in booth 933, and we're going to be just sharing information. And I'm excited because we have our Answers Unleashed talk show. We are filming it there at the event to expose information about education. Our Answers Unleashed platform on AnswersUnleashed.com has all sorts of educational information. It's like a PBS for the web, but in a way that's actually helpful, and it has all these different experts on the show, and it talks about how you can retrain your brain with both science and faith so you find the answers in front of you. So there at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books, we're going to be shooting our first episode, TV episode, and we're going to be interviewing people, different authors and people who are going to the event. So if you have the opportunity, stop by. If you're in Los Angeles, stop by. It's at the USC campus, April 21st and 22nd. And I'm really excited. We're going to be there from 10 to 3 o'clock. So I'm excited, and stop by.
Fantastic. I have a final question for you, Olympia. I noted that you talk about brain intelligence versus artificial intelligence. So what is your opinion on brain intelligence versus artificial intelligence? That's a topic I'm curious about.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you for asking that question. If
you're
ever worried about, if anyone is ever worried about artificial intelligence, don't be. And this is the reason. The human mind has one thing that computers don't, intuition. So when you recognize how powerful your own intuition is, you're able to create anything. And this creation power is something that will outlast any computer.
Fantastic answer. I love it. And make me feel better now. And so, Olympia LaPointe, now is your time to shine. Within the next minute or two, you may tell our audience any message you want, and you may also expand on any way that they can contact you on social media or at your office, or and how to get your book.
Oh, thank you. To find the book, you can go to answersunleashed.com/books, and there you'll find all the information about our book, Answers Unleashed. And you'll find also on the same website, answersunleashed.com, you will find a live lecture. It was a TED-like lecture that we call Answers Unleashed Live that was held at California State University, Northridge, where for an hour we did a live lecture and we had live questions afterwards. And it gives you a full breakdown about this new understanding of the trio brain and trio brain theory of relativity on how we can each unleash our own brain power. And this, again, is for the leaders who are looking for changing their lives and changing the lives of other people. And I'm so excited to share this information. Thank you for being on the show. And you can always find me on facebook.com/OlympiaLaPointe and OlympiaLaPointe.com for the latest updates. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Olympia LaPointe, and hopefully I'll see you at the at USC, and we'll get to meet. And you have a very successful weekend there, and also much more success with your career. And hopefully we'll talk again in the future. And God bless you.
God bless you. Too.
And God bless
thank
your
you.
Mother too. God bless your
thank
mother.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
You're so welcome. And have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. And Olympia LaPointe has left the building. And be sure to try and attend the Book Publicists of Southern California booth. And it's number 933 at the USC campus on April 21st and 22nd. You can find it in the Los Angeles Times and online. Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. It happens every year, and it's fantastic. It's from 10 to 3 p.m., and Olympia LaPointe will be signing her books and filming her TV episode and giving autographs, so don't miss out. And there'll be many, many, many wonderful authors, maybe myself, I'm not sure yet, but I'm definitely going to try. And now we're going to take a break, and then I want to come back and talk about how for-profit prisons have become the biggest lobby no one is talking about except the Rose right here on Columbo Chronicles Live.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up. Listen up to the Rose at Columbo Chronicles Live. And that is around the world on Blog Talk Radio. So bookmark, follow, and check our new time out. Change it to noon to 1 p.m. every week. I have to have the commercials changed to reflect the new time, so make sure you make a note of that as well. And I was talking a little bit at the beginning of the show on the how for-profit prisons have become the biggest lobby no one is talking about, and it's written by Michael Cohen, and he's a freelance writer from Staten Island, New York. And he says that Senator Marco Rubio is one of the biggest beneficiaries. So would you like to know why he's making these comments? Well, let's see. Several industries have become notorious for the millions they spend on influencing legislation and getting friendly candidates into office, big oil, big pharma, and the gun lobby among them. But one has managed to quickly build influence with comparatively little scrutiny, private prisons. And we know about the FEMA camps. Are those private prisons? Why did they build the FEMA camps? Why did they build more private prisons if they don't intend to put more people into prison? And so I wanted to make you aware that I'm disappointed with with the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, because he stated in a video, a press conference, and Ron Paul also brought this up and others, which I noted, and I find to be very dangerous to our freedom and our due process of law, and denying Americans charges filed and phone calls and lawyers and trial by jury and or judge. And that is our civilized way of life in America. And it's established by the Constitution of the United States of America. And that right would be denied if that right is taken away by accusation only, meaning that giving police too much power, they would become, in my opinion, judge, jury, and executioner. For example, if they stopped you at a traffic stop and then they accused you of a crime, you could be 100% innocent. And based on the forfeiture asset law, they could confiscate, I don't know, your vehicle, your money, your jewelry, detain you, and then let you go. And you probably will never get your money back or your assets without filing a lawsuit. And then, of course, if they confiscate your assets, then, of course, you won't have money to hire a lawyer. And even if you're 100% innocent, and I have known cases such as this, and it's a very dangerous road to go down, very dangerous to not deny Americans their right to due process of law and Miranda rights. I want to talk more about that Wednesday, and we will have a fantastic guest on Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m., so don't miss Columbo Chronicles. Be sure to bookmark the new time, noon to 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 3 to 4 p.m. on the East Coast. Maybe you're having dinner, maybe you're leaving work, maybe you're on a break. So if you want to listen to archive shows and you missed one of our episodes with prominent guests from around the world, be sure to go back to blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles, scroll on down and choose your favorite topic and your favorite guest. Also, you can check out my Facebook, Twitter at Rose for Justice, that's the number 4, and LinkedIn, Pinterest, and www.ColumboChronicles.com. Or for blogs and past radio shows, you can also go to roseforjustice.com. That is the number 4, www.roseforjustice.com. So that's how you can contact me. That's how you can find me. I'm just everywhere on social media. The Rose Colombo Chronicles is there, too, just for you. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, Injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me. But together, we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you listen to The Rose on Colombo Chronicles Live.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.